Shalom, this is Nitza Moshe from Remnant Remedy, hosting today's Remnant Mama Show, where we are living and learning a restoration lifestyle. Today we are doing a series on Hanukkah, and I will be discussing with Posey Salem from Seek the Ancient Path about how we celebrate Hanukkah in our home. And ours focus more on children because we have had 5 children at home and we're down to 3, and we still have 2 younger children. Ages 11 and 12, and we have a young man who is almost 18. But it's still very important for the younger children on how to celebrate this with the family. And the 17-year-old, the 25-year-old, and the 21-year-old, they celebrate it in their homes, and it is important to them because it's something that they learned to do when they transitioned from Christmas to Hanukkah while they were growing up with us. So hello, Miss Posey, how are you today?
I'm great. It's good to be on here with you. I'm really excited to hear how your family has been celebrating Hanukkah over the years.
Well, the way we've celebrated Hanukkah, of course, was a transitional thing. Of course, when we came out of the Christian church and we were transitioning into the Moedim, that was pretty easy. We wanted to celebrate Hanukkah and we wanted to learn about it. At the time, we still were doing Christmas because it was a transitional thing for us. We were learning and we started doing all the Moedims and the feast appointments. Of course, Hanukkah is not a commanded Moedim, but of course, at the time, we didn't even know what a Moedim was. We were just trying to restore our Hebrew roots and learn and study the scriptures and the history of Israel, which I think is a common theme for a lot of people who homeschooled. We were going back and studying scripture, studying Israel, and so it was just a natural progression. So we added Hanukkah first for us and our family because, you know, it was easy to get that Halloween was pagan. We never did that anyway. We let go of Easter when we understood Pesach and Passover. We did Sukkot and Feast of Tabernacles, which, you know, actually took care of the Christmas holiday seasons for at least the purpose if you wanted to celebrate the birth of the Messiah. But we really didn't see or understand at the time that Christmas was a pagan holiday and had a pagan history. We did not know that at the time. So we were probably doing Hanukkah maybe 5 years before we actually read and studied something on Christmas and Saturnalia. And once we read that, it was like very wicked and very evil and was kind of a no-brainer. Well, then came the issue and the problem of, okay, we have in-laws and parents living with us and they don't understand. I think those who embrace the feast, it's easier because you have something to fill that void, that purpose of celebration and the word of Yahweh and for your family and your friends. And so for those who don't embrace the Moedim or the appointments or the feast, you're asking them to give up something. And I think for a lot of them, it's not that they're, you know, most Christians and believers, they don't have any problems giving up the pagan stuff. They know it's not about Santa Claus. A lot of times the Christmas tree, the issue with the Christmas tree are the lights, not the tree. And I know for me it was. And so you just don't know that it's wicked. They don't know that it's mixing and they don't have anything to fill the void with. Well, for us, that was easy because we had already filled it with the understanding of the Moedim, so the other feasts, and now we had Hanukkah. The problem we had was dealing with the hurt and the rejection and misunderstanding with our family. And so as I mentioned in the previous show that I did right before Sukkot, it was a problem for us. And we decided, my husband decided that we would walk in mercy and love, however people want to judge that. That's the route that we took with our elderly parents. And I had children from a previous marriage who would go and celebrate Christmas regardless of whether I liked it or not. I had no say-so. The state says that they have to go visit their father. Therefore, my girls would go visit their father. So we had Hanukkah and Christmas. They had Christmas over there when they visited. But as the years went and we came to a place where Father totally released us, we no longer did Christmas, but we did Hanukkah. And we have held on to that through the years. Last year probably is the least Hanukkah we ever did. We didn't do gifts. We just did a simple observation and read through the Book of Maccabees. That was probably the least year that we ever did that. My younger children were very disappointed, not because of the gifts, but because they enjoy having the party where we invite people over. We tell the story of Hanukkah. We play dreidels. Of course, it's a festive event where we can celebrate. They love to put up the blue and white lights. I call the Israel lights. And so it's been very important in our family. And my younger children don't see it because they've never been out there and had to feel that way. But for my older children, it was really important because while everybody else was celebrating Christmas and the world was doing its thing, we have something to fill this void. And we have a purpose to focus it around the scriptures
But it wasn't just a Christmas substitute for you. You weren't using it as a Christmas substitute. It is a real historical holiday that we can celebrate, and it just so happens that it falls in the same time as the Christmas holiday, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we would do it regardless of what time of the year it fell in.
Exactly.
It's just nice that, especially when you're transitioning, or you know, you have younger children or family members that are really struggling.
Right.
You know, it gives them something to focus on. I'm a cold turkey kind of person. I see something, okay, I give it up, no biggie deal. But for some people, those emotions that are tied to it, and I know for me, the only emotions I really had tied to it was, wow, this is the time of the year I got to see all my relatives, and we got to cook, have meals together, spend time together. And of course, the more you walk the Hebrew Roots Walk, I think you find that you don't have many relatives left, and that your real family is the family of Yahweh and those who have the same spirit that are grafted in and come into the covenant. But that is a slow process, and I think there's a lot of pain, and there's a lot of circumcision, there's a lot of bleeding spiritually and emotionally going on there. And so I would just say I like to walk in grace and love towards that. And, you know, we have a lot of Christian friends out there who are still celebrating Christmas, but in their heart they want to be set free of it. They want to move on. And so we need to be really careful how we judge them and how we go around saying it's pagan, pagan, you know, give it up, give it up. I think that we need to walk in joy in what we're doing and let Father do the rest and love them where they're at. Because I used to come from the other perspective, and it doesn't get you very far. It just alienates you from them, and you don't win them. You don't win them to him because they just see you as a Torah terrorist beating them down. And I know I don't respond well that way. That is our approach. But we do not go to Christmas events. You know what I mean? Like, we don't go to Christmas parties and things like that. But we love our people, and our friends and family that do celebrate Christmas. We just tell them that for us, it would be a mixture and we don't participate, but we would love for them to come over for Hanukkah, you know, and then leave it at that. And many times they do. So I think the biggest thing probably about Hanukkah is, number one, we want to read the Book of Maccabees, and we try every year to read all of it, though I think there's only been a few years where we haven't. And so it's a reminder every year. We go through the first and second and third Book of Maccabees. I'm not really fond of the very last one, but it definitely the first two books. I suggest, depending on the age of your children, that at the ninth month during the Rosh Chodesh, that you begin to read through it along with your Torah studies every day. We like to do it at nighttime, light a candle, start to read. You can do it just through Hanukkah, but depending on the age of your children, it might be too much, too long, and you might need to bring it down to just a Hanukkah story. That's the main thing that we do. And, of course, my whole family, we just can't wait to get the blue and white lights out because it's the time of the year for light. So we may or may not put blue and white lights outside the house, but we definitely put them on the inside of the house because we just love to sit and look at the lights. I used to work for Lowry's Lipton, and we always had lighted outdoor restaurants, and I just love the little white lights in the trees. And so at this time of the year, the light, this is the time of the year that Yeshua was conceived. During this dark time when these evil things were happening, that Father had a plan, and he was conceiving the light of the world that was going to be born. And 10 months later, he's born during the Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot, and is circumcised. So, you know, it comes back around again for us when we come to that time of the year, and we know and understand the whole cycle, and my children can understand and go through the scriptures and see how he was conceived during this time of the year, how to figure that out by the birth of John the Baptist. And I talked about that in a previous radio show, how you can figure that out and show someone in the scriptures if you understand the Hebrew calendar and what's going on. So that's the biggest thing for us. And then, of course, we go into the whole story of Maccabees, and the most important message overall is this is what you do to obey Yahweh in the face of persecution, you know, and we need to be ready and prepared to stand. And then the practical things that we like to do is my children love the dreidel game. My husband loves the dreidel game, and this is the reason why my husband loves children. And the thing about the dreidel game is every age can play. You can have a 2 or 3 year old can sit there, and if they can turn that top, they turn it. If they can't, you can have them sit on their lap and you twist it for them, and they get to play. And so from young to old, everyone gets to play the dreidel game. And I like the dreidel game, and maybe you can help me with this, Posey, is that when you get a shin, which to me the shin represents Shem, the name of Yahweh, you put more candy or
yes,
coins into the game. So it's like Yahweh's always giving. It's not like he's always taking. And I kind of like that.
Yes, that's awesome. Sheen, put one in. And the sheen that looks sort of like a W, that Hebrew character, you can use it as shorthand for El Shaddai. And when you start to think about the sheen in that way, that's a whole lot more to think about and that you can share with your children as they're growing and getting older what the name El Shaddai means when they're playing the dreidel game. There's lots that you can share about those four Hebrew characters. I agree with you, though. I like it that everybody can play, and it's not really limited to just two or four people. If you've got six in your family or eight, it might take a while to get around the circle, but you can certainly do it. Or you could have two groups set up if you have a larger family, two tables of people playing the game, and there's a lot of good that you can take away from it.
Well, there's several things about that scene or that sheen. Now, see, my background was I had actually learned about that letter to begin with way before I ever did Hanukkah. And because I understood that when you raised your hands up to Yahweh in praise and worship, you were creating a shin or a sheen letter in the Hebrew language. So I think about when you raise your hands up to Hashem or Yahweh, that you are making that shin. Also, I had seen a teaching years before by Perry Stone where he did a topical geographical map and showed how the name of Yahweh relating to that scripture where he says, where I write my name in Jerusalem and where the dot is on the modern Hebrew to the right of the shin would represent Yahweh overall. And if it was over to the left, it represented hell or the enemy, Hasatan, and that is where Gehenna was. And so he showed a geographical topical picture. So the shin meant a whole lot more to me when I learned to play the game.
We'll be taking a break here in a moment, but we'll be right back. It's that time of year again. You can't walk into a drugstore or pharmacy without being bombarded by someone who offers to give you a flu shot. With all of the information available now about the unclean ingredients in vaccines, it's not something that we Torah believers want to take into our bodies. With all of the antibacterial soaps and cleaners in use today, germs are still on the rise, and they're becoming stronger every year. We now have super germs that can easily outlive drugs and chemicals that seemed to work great just a few years ago. So what can we do? The Remnant Mamas use the triple threat for cold and flu season. Spice Traders, Breathe Easy, and Oregano Essential Oils from Remnant Remedy. Oregano, it's not just for spaghetti and pizza anymore. This humble and lowly herb from the Mediterranean contains the most powerful antibiotic that's naturally available on the earth. Oregano Essential Oil stimulates the immune system to help your body fight off infection, colds, and flu, upper respiratory infections, coughs, and sore throats. So when cold and flu season threaten your family, why not do as the Remnant Mom is do and put the triple threat to work for you. And now, for a limited time, when you order the triple threat, we will email you our special cold and flu season guide that includes special tips and suggestions for using these wonderful essential oils to enhance your health, healing, and well-being. Spice Traders, Breathe Easy, and Oregano Essential Oils are all available through the Hebrew Nation radio store. Just click on Remnant Remedy and support your Torah radio station and your family's health. Well, we're back. You're listening to the Remnant Mama Show on Hebrew Nation Radio.
The dreidel itself, you know, we studied a little bit about the history that supposedly they would hide the Torah because they weren't allowed to read the Torah. They weren't allowed to do Shabbat. And so the children of the families would play with the dreidels to hide what they were doing. And I think a lot of people need to understand, too, because so they can connect this in their mind, that Hanukkah, that time of the Maccabees, was, I believe, around the 2nd century, but it was the time after Alexander the Great. But when they go to read the book of Maccabees, you know, they don't necessarily think of it as Alexander the Great. It says Alexander, the son of Philip the Macedonian. And so from a Hebrew concept, they don't always connect that Alexander the Great died at a very young age, that after he died, three of his lead soldiers were the ones who rose up and took these different areas and conquered the land. So we have to understand the persecution that was going around then. Not that dreidels is the focus here, but it's a game where you can bring everybody together. And like you said, it can be two people, it can be 20 or 30 people, or you can break out into tables and play. Now, some people will come back and say, well, you're gambling. Well, if you're looking at putting peanuts or raisins, or we love the chocolate coins, this year we did something different and we made our own chocolate coins instead of buying them. We always share and give back and keep everybody in the game no matter what they've lost. So nobody's really gambling. It's just a matter of putting it in there. And back to the Maccabees was that even the young children would use whatever means they had, coins, money, to help pay to support or buy the food and supplies that the soldiers needed to fight back against the Greek. And so in modern days, the way I understand it, they would take the coins if you were really, and then they would give it to or whoever was needy. For us, it's just a candy thing, and that's really not all that healthy, so you can play with almonds, nuts, raisins. You know, it's just a matter of putting something in there. I know people may have different opinions, but for us, it's just a game, and everybody has fun playing it, and that's something that we really look forward to sharing with other people, and everybody loves to play with the top, and the children get to learn what the letters represent. They get to learn some Hebrew and what it means, and of course, there's the difference between the dreidels. I guess if you're in Jerusalem, the letters come out and say, there was a miracle here, and if you're outside of Israel, it says there was a miracle there. Now, if you homeschool, what we do with some of the older children is we can focus on different themes that they can have part of the school. Like this year, my older child, my 12-year-old, is searching and doing a research paper on olive oil. And of course, olive oil or oil can also be shemen, as we talk about essential oils. But he's learning about olive oils and olive trees, and of course, how that goes back to scripture. If you have older children, or if you're an adult and maybe you don't have children, I really highly suggest is that you do some word studies. It's really great if you have an e-sword, and do a research on the words from Genesis through Revelations on the words light, darkness, and mixture, or erev, or evening, from their Hebrew perspective, all through the scriptures. And you'll get this whole study on light and darkness and mixture, and how from Genesis to Revelations, there's been a mixture. There was a separation of the light and the darkness. And then you can apply it in so many physical applications, living applications, and spiritual applications. And this is one of the things that I learned that really helped me to understand more and more about essential oils and linen, because it's all back to the light and the darkness that was from the beginning, and this eternal battle that's going on, and how it's going to be divided, and how there's a mixture. And of course, as Hebrew Roots people coming out, we are trying to come out of the darkness, walk more and more towards the light, and embrace that light, and leave that darkness behind, so that we get rid of the mixture that's in our lives. So anything that you can do in that application is great. A couple of things that you can do with smaller children, even with adults, is a great visual, is you can hide a Bible in a room and give everyone a light or flashlight or candle, and whoever can find that Bible then gets to recite the verses or the scriptures that have to do with the light when you go to light the menorah each night or the Hanukkah, and or just start with one candle in a room that's very dark and talk about Yeshua and the Torah being the light and the light of the world, and then take your candle and light another person's candle, and then have that person light another person's candle. And of course, the more people you have, the more the room will light up. And it's really fun to do this with a big group of people, because then you can see that as we have his light and we share his light and the Torah, then it lights up the room or lights up the world. So that's something that we like to do. The children love to make crafts. They will make blue and white paper chains to decorate with. You know, we focus on the menorah, the light of the world, and anything that has to do with that. And then, of course, there's the latkes, the oils, and some people do a whole thing on, you know, they have a different food with oil every night. I'm personally not into a lot of oil food, but we do the latkes, and now that we do coconut oil, a lot better and not as greasy and bad for you. It's actually good for you. So we do a lot of cooking. I like to make a dreidel cake. So every year I make a chocolate dreidel cake, and I have a picture of that. So if anybody wants to email me, I'll show you my version. I'm not a great decorator, but just to get that cake out is a major accomplishment for me. But it's fun. It looks like a dreidel when you're done. And a book that I got this from, and that is my favorite Jewish cookbook, is called Fast and Festive Meals for the Jewish Holidays by Marlene Soroski. That's Soroski. The reason I like this book, because I don't like most cookbooks, is it separates the recipes into each Moedim or appointment. So it has Yom Kippur and Sukkot, and also has Purim and Hanukkah. And what I love about it is it gives you the ingredients, tells you what you can do ahead of time, whether it's a day ahead of time, an hour ahead of time, how long it's going to take to make it, and it'll even have the blessings in there and some of the activities. And so I really love that cookbook. And on a nightly basis, a book that I highly recommend, especially if you have a family, is a book from the First Fruits of Zion, and it's called Light in the Darkness, Hanukkah and the Disciples of Yeshua.
There's also a DVD that goes with that. You can buy it as a set. Get the set and watch the DVD also. I think it's really helpful.
Yeah, I've never had the DVD, but I have the book, and I highly recommend it because it's not a book that you just pick up and read. We use this book, gosh, I bet we've used it for at least 7-8 years. The first edition was 2003, and I believe I got this book when it first came out. And the reason we love this book is because every year it has a short story on the Book of Maccabees, but it has a focus for you for every night of the week when you do Hanukkah. And so for us, what we do is we read that section, the verses and the scriptures that go along with it, and we discuss the topics for each night. So after dinner on each night of Hanukkah, unless it's the night that we're having the big party, we'll do something different then. We will have dinner, light the candle, and however many candles for whatever night it is. And then we will go in to the section for that night. And just to give you an idea, here are the topics or the focuses for each night of Hanukkah. It also has the Hanukkah games in it, some activities that you can do, some arts and crafts activities, some food recipes. And the first night is you go into the Hanukkah story, and they provide that for you right here in the book, a short little version of the Book of Maccabees to explain the story. The second night, they do Yeshua's call to be the light of the world. So the focus is on Yeshua and his disciples and being a light, and he is the light of the world. On the third night, they focus on the menorah and how it's the symbol of the nation of Israel, and they focus on light and the olive branches and the menorah in the temple. On the fourth night, they focus on a family with a vision, because of course we wouldn't have had Hanukkah if a father had not stood up in the priest of his home, and he was the priest of the nation of Israel, he was a Kohen, and stood up and said no to ungodliness. And then his sons carried that out, and they were called the Maccabees. They ended up being called the Maccabees. And then on the fifth night, it's the heavens are telling the glory of Yahweh, and it focuses on the light that were created in the heavens and how both the light in the heavens and the Torah were given to separate light from the darkness. And on the sixth night, they talk about the festival of olive oil. What is an olive press? How is it made? What does Mashiach or the anointing mean? What does Christ mean in the Greek? And the anointed one, the anointing in the Garden of Gethsemane, and how Yeshua was pressed out when he was going through the anguish of knowing what he was going to go through, and how that parallels to an olive oil being pressed, and how, if you think about it, we are not really useful, just like olives for light, until we've gone through some crushing and persecution and some trials. And then on the seventh night, it follows on the topic of slaves to righteousness, or as I call, willing bondservants. And it discusses the menorah or the Hanukkah and how that middle shamish is the servant, and how Yeshua is a servant and we're called to be servants. And that's how we change the world, is by loving and being a servant. And then, of course, on the eighth night, it talks about the completion. You can parallel this to Sukkot, because Hanukkah basically was a delayed Sukkot. They couldn't get in there on the seventh month and have it. They had to reclean and dedicate the temple. They had to get access back to the temple. And it takes 8 days to rededicate and cleanse the temple. You have the eighth day circumcision. We have a future eighth day, as in a thousand years, as in a day, as a thousand years is as a day to Yahweh. And we have the seventh day rest coming up with the kingdom. And then there's going to be an eighth day of complete restoration, where there's no more light and no more darkness. So there's all these parallels that you can study. And the incense and the altar menorah is on that last day. And it even has a chapter on why they don't celebrate Christmas. And I think, again, instead of, you know, forcing and telling everybody, all you can do is present the information, love them, and then let them come to the place where the Ruach teaches them and shows them, I'm calling you into light, I'm calling you into the Torah, and I want you to leave the darkness. I'm going to show you where the dark places are in your life so that you'll come and walk towards the light. So you will also no longer be a mixture and come into the kingdom of Yahweh.
Amen.
Well, thank you for being with me, Posey. And we will be on another show with Posey, and we will hear how she and Avi and their family celebrate Hanukkah. And we thank you. Let your garments be always white, and let your head lack no shimmin. Shalom.
Shalom. This is your rising.